the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, January 9th, 2022, by Father John Muhlendijk.
Greetings in the name of the living Christ. Baptism is occurring right now in the middle of winter. I don't know about you, but if I was in Eastern Europe, I wouldn't be looking forward to this. That's their big day. They have three holidays. They've got Christmas, they've got Easter, and they've got the holy baptism of Jesus. The problem is it's kind of cold there. And part of the tradition of theophany with God coming out and manifesting himself is they chop holes in the ice. There's about 7,000 of them that do this, and people jump into those holes. And the problem is, I think it's the guys who jump into the holes, the young guys, not the older, wiser people, and definitely not the wiser women. But anyway, it's a way to really shake yourself up. It's an important day, and to me, it was like, well, the baptism of Jesus, you know, it comes around every year, and I don't think too much about it. It's one of those days that you just go on. So I kind of questioned a lot of stuff this week, and then as I was learning to preach on this again, I said, well, why was Jesus really baptized? You know, John was preaching the baptism for the repentance of sins, but Jesus didn't sin. So why baptize Jesus? So, and the Episcopalians would say, that's what I thought. Okay, same thing I had. No answer. You know, you have to think about these things till somebody pushes you, right? So, but that hangs in there. Why did Jesus, you know, he baptized? And I thought, well, you know, I could work this out, but there's really more important issues to work out. This whole thing of COVID is around, and maybe we should be talking about, you know, COVID and what's going on in society, and that kind of rang through my head. You know, it's one of those things, and I sometimes feel depressed about it, and I feel confused, and I start thinking about it, and then I don't know where I'm going to go, and then I read the scientific literature. I get the stuff from Boston Mass every morning at 6 a.m. They send me a notice out of the newest discoveries, etc., and then I think about the science. Yeah, the science, yeah, which is one day this way, and then the next day that way, and 5 days later it's this way. And then when you think about it, really, they're looking at large groups of people and about what happened to those large groups of people, and then they're trying to figure out what's going to happen. And so they give you all these, you know, these things. And I'm wondering if God doesn't sometimes wonder, why are we trying to play God and trying to figure it out? Isn't there another way to do it? So what's the right answer in all of these things? Is it vaxxer, anti-vaxxer? Mask wear, non-mask wear, treatment, no treatment, liberty, freedom, or lockdown? Tough stuff. I believe there are good insights from science, but then again, if they're so good, why is the pandemic continuing to go? Perhaps it's because some of the vaccine people won't distribute vaccines or create vaccines in other countries, and in those countries they continue to perpetuate new types of viruses. So my head is kind of like really full of what we're doing. And I remember a couple years ago we had, I don't know if you remember that, but they had the MERS virus that crept around, kind of like the SARS. And I kind of like got over that and wasn't too scared because I really wasn't in any dangerous areas. And then along came COVID. And so we got like two of them, you know, to look at. And then along came Mr. Delta. So now we're juggling with all these viruses. Now, these are kind of interesting. I find that the culture, how things get into culture, these are kids' toys. Believe it or not, I'm not sure I'd want to hug up to one of these, but they are soft and they are fluffy. But it kind of brought out to me all the problems that we had. And then, you know, we just keep working on these things and working on them. And then, of course, I'm thinking the end of last year, things are finally starting to, you know, to calm down. And lo and behold, Omicron comes along. So now we're dealing with an even bigger one. So now Omicron, say hi to your brothers and sisters. Okay, all right. Yep. Anyway, so how do we deal with this guy? Eric, catch it. See how he got COVID?
I'm trying not to catch it.
He didn't. Thanks. He's a good sport on that. I had to do that because he falls asleep sometime in the middle of my sleep. It's a good way to keep him up. So, you know, I've been wondering about how do you deal with this kind of stuff? And so I thought, you know what? As a Bible-believing people, we should go to Scripture. So I went to Scripture. And I looked at the book of SARS, COVID 2, chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. And then I went to 2nd Delta, chapter 10, 2 through 18. And then I even ended up in the book of Omicron, chapter 16. But you know what I found? Nothing. I'm kind of glad you guys laughed this morning because during the first service, nobody really caught it. So I'm wondering what they're doing with their Bibles. I remember then that the early church fathers and mothers did something different. When they didn't know the answers to anything, and they were in the desert, they would simply go into silence. The desert was a really silent place. And they would find a place where they would simply meditate and be one with God. And then I remember the early church monastics. They practiced in silence too. And then I was overtaken with a still small voice, and I can still hear it. Be still! And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You've got all this stuff coming on your phone. You've got all this stuff at the news. You hear this stuff. People talk on and on and on and on. And you watch the news and on and on and on and on. And God says, be still. Plug your ears. Sit in silence. And the answers will come to you. You will get clear on this. And I'm still looking for answers about COVID, and I'm also looking for the answers about why did Jesus need to be baptized? So I got all this stuff running in my head this week, and I said, I just can't take anymore. Just can't do it. So what I did, give me a second here. I got a chair. And I got a stool. Can you see from this side? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, don't move. Good boy. So I got down. And in practicing centering prayer, it's to be silent. 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes if you can in a day. And in the silence, something happens. It's to let yourself go, shut your eyes, tune everything out, and let your thoughts go so there's no thinking. Now that's the challenge. As thoughts come in, you just toss them out. They come in, you toss them out. You come in, you toss them out, and after a while, you just exist. And in that space, God exists as fully as in the Eucharist and in the church. And it's a way to get answers that you can't get any other way. Silence does it. And in that silence, and after about 20 minutes, I kind of thought about the whole situation of the baptism of Jesus, and I thought about the virus situation, and then I realized I didn't move at all. And then I realized the virus didn't move at all either. The virus doesn't have legs, doesn't have arms, it doesn't ride a bike, doesn't drive a car, it doesn't run around trying to jump on people, it just sits there. And in the right spot
it can chew up something and create more of itself. But it just sits there. And then I got to thinking about the baptism of Jesus. How does that relate? And I said, this virus doesn't seem so bad on its own. I mean, I always thought it was evil, but maybe it's not evil. And then I thought, oh, when God created the world, he created everything good. Everything in it was good. He loved everything. He loved absolutely everything he created. And he even loves music. And what he created is something that probably impacts our life more than anything else. It's not an evil object. It's a quiet one. If things get spread, it's because we spread the virus. But he doesn't do anything. In the baptism of Jesus, I saw a new life. In creation, I saw life, and it's good, and I see Jesus doing the same thing in the River Jordan. Why did Jesus get baptized? Because the world was broken, because we're broken, because we spread the virus. We have the problem. And Jesus said the only way through that is for us to reconnect. And in his baptism, Jesus was reconnecting us with the rest of the world. You can just picture this in your mind. Picture him going down to work with John, his cousin, who was baptizing people. John had taken baptism out of the private homes of people, and he put it out in the open, making the way for Jesus. So Jesus goes into the water, and you can imagine what it's like, you know. Is it cold, you know? Put your feet in her. Ouch, the rocks are, you know, I can feel the rocks beneath my feet. I can feel the sand. I can feel the water flowing. And then all of a sudden he goes down, almost like into death itself. And he holds his breath, and the water, cold water, just rushes over him. And John takes him and pulls him back out of the water. And you can see Jesus kind of like sputtering and taking a deep breath and cleaning his ears and then wiping his eyes to see. And everything he feels is the air around him, and it's cold, and then it's warm, and then he looks to the right and to the left, and he sees the east side of the Jordan, the right side of the Jordan, and then suddenly he feels the air, and he looks up, and he sees the sky, and it opens up, and a dove comes down, and the voice of God comes down, "My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The baptism of Jesus was to reunite us with the rest of creation. The baptism wasn't to get rid of Jesus' sin, because he didn't. But Jesus had to go into the waters, all of the waters of the world, in order to change the waters. Everything came through Christ. He is the great, incredible unifier. And that leads us with this guy. So if he's the unifier, where does he fit in this whole message? This little guy right here is actually, for us, as far as I'm concerned, neither good nor evil. It's simply a mirror, a moral mirror, how you and I are acting. When it sits there, nothing happens. When we don't take care of ourselves, when we don't take care of other people, the guy takes off and does what it is. So it's a mirror for us to take a look at how we're living. It's a mirror for us to not only take care of ourselves, but to be responsible for other people. And that's done in different ways. Sometimes it's vaccination. If you can get it, I think, oh, great. If you can't, or there's a contradiction, that's also can be okay. When you're vaccinated, you still need to give up something. You have the chance of a reaction with a vaccination, but you do that out of love for other people. You take that possibility of quote-unquote death or changing your life. If you're not vaccinated, you still mask, but you also have to take another responsibility of probably staying further away from people than you were. It's a death and dying situation. And it's also a resurrection situation, because those who die to themselves find out they're resurrected again with Christ. So it's something to think about today, of what's in the world and how we make judgments, and how we're so quick to label a person or a thing as to being, you know, the cause of our problems. And what God asked us to do is to look at how we are living and what we need to do. And if that riles you a bit, let me read to you. The prophet Isaiah today said in one of our readings, if you're suffering and worrying, thus says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. Do not fear. How many times do you hear that in Scripture? For I have redeemed you. I called you by name. I know you so closely. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, like my baptism, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. We might have weeks or months of what's going on here, but you will survive because God is with you. Don't worry about making every right decision. It all boils down to, am I taking care of myself? Am I caring for the other person? And then move forward with faith, and God will be with you. And God is with you as a reminder every single day and of every single time you celebrate the Eucharist. And when you hear the words proclaimed in the Eucharist, through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, that's where you are. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, always. When the Eucharist comes up here, it's always a remembrance of the baptism of Jesus, where there was a dying and there's a resurrection, and he's taking you with you. There's nothing that can stop you. So baptism is to change the waters of the world and the way we perceive everything. Go forth this week. Think about that. Pray about it. And above all, spend some time in silence and see what God is saying to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.